Some details about me up there. So I've been a Microsoft MCP since 93. That one goes back to Microsoft Exam 001, some 19 odd years ago. Of all crazy things, it was MS-DOS 5 and microcomputer hardware, when they thought it was really relevant to test you on your knowledge of the rings of execution of the processor, the registers, the most obscure command line switches you could find in MS-DOS 5. Fortunately, the relevance of those exams has improved greatly since 001, as you'd hope and expect. I'm also a Microsoft certified trainer, so I've been a trainer since 96, helping organizations. Back then it was a lot of IT pro and dev. More over the last probably decade, I've been moving more and more into the dev space. I've completed 55 Microsoft exams, getting ready for the next suite of TFS 2012 exams. And I also I'm also one of the co-organizers. I think Rob's up the back there as well. So between Rob Edward and myself, we also run the Agile NZ conference, which I think is coming up in the next year's is around March 20th, if I remember. I should know these dates. So that's something we do down in Wellington. So that's a little bit about me. For those of you that attended my session yesterday, that was the offending laptop with the brand new video drivers, well, the lack of the video drivers, more to the point. So we've gone with Plan B. Let's see how Plan B goes. I seem to have some technical challenges. You know, you have some good tech heads. I can go back to 96. There were some great tech heads, and then I have this tech head, where everything I touch, it's the opposite of the Midas touch, I'm finding. So that's my tech head. But that's all right. What I want to talk to you about is TFS Preview. So who's got a TFS Preview account? Keep your hand up if you're actively using it. Okay, that's pretty good. Excellent. So the rest of you will have it by the end of the day. Yeah? Great. So TFS Preview is predominantly the thing I want to talk about. It's Microsoft's hosted TFS offering in the cloud. So it sits up there on Windows Azure, we'll call it for now. Windows Azure, that's not the correct term. But basically, it makes TFS a lot more available to people to use. So a few things about it. At Build last year in Anaheim in November, Microsoft had TFS Preview available. But in order to be able to use TFS Preview, you needed an invitation code. When you use that invitation code to sign up, that then gave you 5 invitation codes to give away. And this was basically done to help Microsoft learn, or help this product team learn, how to manage hosted services. Because it's something that the TFS guys had not done before. They'd focused on a TFS server product that was installed on-premise, that had a big ship, then a service pack, and then the next big ship. And their delivery times were quite long. They didn't have to worry about things like SLAs and so forth. So in starting out that way, they introduced a way to sort of control a gradual onboarding of people to the service. Just before, actually, and I think it was at TechEd North America, they announced that you no longer needed an invitation code. So it is basically free for anyone to try. You can go to tfspreview.com, which I'm going to show you certainly, hopefully, this morning. And you can simply sign up there using your live ID and get a team project collection created for you to use in the cloud today. So basically, it's available to everyone. And this is what the welcome experience looks like. It's certainly been improved quite a bit over that very, very first one for those of you that may have used the invitation codes to go to TFS Preview. So this is now the welcome experience. What you see there is a variety of different links for us. That's just the slide. I'll show you what the real thing looks like. You've got things up there like news, which is particularly interesting. And I was hoping it was going to tell me a little bit more this morning about some interesting challenges that I'm having. And I guess there was this temptation to fake it out a little bit. And I thought, that's not really doing justice. Putting something in the cloud is all well and good. We hear a lot about cloud, and that's fantastic if you have reliable, consistent access to the cloud. If there is anything in the way between you and the cloud, the experience is nowhere near as much fun. So I thought, we're just going to do it. We're going to go live. We're going to go end to end. And if something breaks, if something happens along the way, then that's part of the experience. I mean, it could be, you know, I was very, very tempted to have a backup plan to use a local version of TFS, but why would you do that in a talk on the cloud? So if it goes, you know, if it goes pear-shaped, as it has on every walkthrough I've done this morning, then so be it. Okay? And it's not just me this time. Rob had a look as well. We were both there going, hey, this is interesting. The team members in our team project were showing zero, which is interesting, for no good reason. So look, guys, we're just going to have a go at it, and we'll see how it goes. As a presenter, realizing that you haven't had a single successful end-to-end walkthrough prior to your session this morning is disconcerting, very disconcerting, and a full room adds to that experience for a presenter. So we'll just see how it goes. So let's talk about why the cloud. Firstly, who's installed TFS before? Keep your hand up if you enjoyed it. Okay. That's fine. I'm so tempted to say stand up, let everyone look at you, but that's just inappropriate. So guys, it's not a fun experience. So fundamentally, there's the first reason. Installing TFS, it's just not great. I've spent countless man weeks being paid by organizations to do just this, install TFS. It's not great for them to have to pay someone, and it's not enjoyable in any way for me to do it. I do often choose to do it, though, because it is better to set it up correctly the first time than to come back months later when it's been misconfigured and abused for several months and suddenly it's not working. Can you fix that? That's been an exciting experience. You know, certainly not naming names, but it's not a New Zealand company. I've turned up to find 3 database servers on the TFS box. That's an alarm bell straight away. You've got MySQL running on TFS. You know it can't use it. Oh, no, we use that for another system. Oh, this conversation's going downhill rapidly. So I've seen a lot of misconfiguration, including some truly absurd attempts to set up TFS. So, you know, in the cloud, this is looking pretty good so far. The next thing is cross-geography. This was, a question. I don't know whether it was a question on the floor yesterday or a question after my talk. But what about, you know, today we tend to work with external parties a fair bit. It could be that, you know, we just want to supplement our team with a couple of developers, you know, from down on the South Island. They're not employees. Today, the only choice you've got is to create an account for those external people in your Active Directory. And that's not overly palatable to most organizations. The external story, well, yes, with 2010, we can expose that directly to the cloud, but really they want VPN. And, you know, VPN is great. There's some great VPN offerings out there, don't get me wrong. But how many of you have used the VPN from home and, you know, the experience just isn't quite what it's cracked up to be? You know, the speed just isn't fantastic. The extra load on a slower connection makes a big difference. So democratizing access to the TFS services, putting it up in the cloud and saying, hey, so long as you've got a Windows Live ID, you can get in here. Now, that's a big plus for many enterprise organizations that want to partner with externals or to use external providers to complement the team. So that's a big tick for the cloud. The lowering of operation costs. So in terms of operating a TFS server, if you've got your, you know, usual ops guys going in there and saying, well, look, this is a TFS server. I want you to look after it like it's a SQL box. Do all the stuff that SQL needs. Can you also look after it like it's a web server? And by the way, it's got SharePoint on there as well. They're not going to be overly happy with you because each of those has their own kinds of operational considerations. You know, health checks, things we need to do. Things like if you happen to be using SCOM, System Center Operations Manager, you can get a nice plugin that will teach SCOM about everything TFS to make that a little bit easier for you, but it's a fair bit of work. Now, one of the benefits Microsoft has is simply they've got that economy of scale. By putting it into the cloud and by doing that ops experience for the 500, the 1,000, the 5,000 users of the service, then certainly they've got that scalability to make the ops overhead quite a bit lower. The faster delivery cycle. So the faster delivery cycle is one of the most compelling things about the cloud. Although that said, I'm suspecting potentially that's what may be biting me this morning. Now, TFS Preview is free. It will be a commercial service, and I've got slides on this later. It'll be a commercial service sometime next year. A random crystal ball, I'd like to see it by somewhere in Q2. But that's just Joe Nobody having a guess. Oh, maybe, it's probably a little bit more than that, but that's what I expect to see. And the reason that it's there and that it's a free offering today is they need to learn themselves. Now, they're changing internally dramatically. Imagine the product team for TFS. They had one big push, one big ship. Here's 2010. And then they've got a year to think about Service Pack 1, or whatever the timeframes are. And then they've got at least another year to think about the next big release. And that's the cadence the team had. Now, internally, they were using Scrum. They were doing all those, you know, good things. But in terms of delivery, that's their culture and has been since it was released. With TFS Preview, it is updated and deployed every 3 weeks. Now, that's a dramatic change for the team to get used to. Every 3 weeks, they will update this cloud offering. Now, they will have people's data in there. You know, they'll have work items, they'll have source, they'll have builds, they'll have all these things in there, and they need to do that in a responsible way that will not impact in any negative way all of the data that's in there. And they're going to back it up with a financial SLA. So there's a lot of learning that's got to go on for them. The good news is, every 3 weeks, it's Christmas every 3 weeks, isn't it, Rob? Stop looking at your phone, it's really rude. Thank you. But you just do that between presenters, it's just one of those things. So with that 3 week release, as I was saying, it's like Christmas every 3 weeks. Recently, suddenly it lit up with Kanban support. And that's not something that we have in the on-premise version yet. It's something we'll expect to see probably in the first quarterly release. Okay, so there's probably some new news for you. The on-premise offering will be updated every quarter. So that's an opportunity. It's not forced, but it is an opportunity for the on-premise version of TFS to stay in feature compatibility or feature cadence with the cloud version, but the cloud version's always going to win. Yes, it does. So the question was, does it allow you to opt out, or are you talking on-premise here?
No, the cloud.
The cloud, at this stage, no, there is no opt-out for cloud. Okay. No, I can't see even how that would work at the moment. So you can opt out of the on-premise one every quarter, but not for the cloud. Okay. So again, that recent thing was, here's some Kanban boards and support for Kanban. Every 3 weeks, there's something a little bit extra there for us. So that's a really big plus for putting it in the cloud. If you were to go back to your corporate IT folk and say, hey, we need you to install this every 3 weeks on TFS, that's not as palatable. In fact, even going back and saying we're going to do it every quarter, we might get some resistance there. But for those of us using it, hey, we want the latest, greatest stuff, so that's all good. And in terms of public-facing servers, it's a stepping stone for Microsoft as well. You know, the end game is the ability to support a complete hybrid solution. You know, with artifacts being on-premise, with having things down here, having things publicly facing, you know, basically making that mix and match any way you like. So this is just a step in that eventual curve for us. So an important delivery for Microsoft to make. There are some hosting options out there today. There are a number of partners that are listed up there that offer TFS hosting, the full experience, and they do that by, you know, provisioning typically dedicated VMs for each client they have. So plenty of options up there. Microsoft aren't the only hosting provider there. That said, TFS Preview is a little different. It'll be a different experience than what you're going to get with these guys, is my guess. Okay. So, let's get started. Okay, the switch worked, I'm feeling good so far. I'm taking little wins as I can get them. So, and the web seems to be working, so we're going to call that a win. I'm simply going to go to tfspreview.com. Again, now this is something that any and all of you can do. We're going to go in there, let me just make that a little bit bigger. So there's a lot of information in here. In terms of a welcome experience, it tells you what you need to do, it gives you access to download the client tools that you need. It's all pretty good. I'm going to jump into news just for now. And this is how they convey what's been going on with those three weekly updates. So you can go in here and find out exactly what's changed. Okay, so they've introduced basic auth support. We've actually seen some basic auth messages in some of the errors I've been getting this morning. So again, that's been turned on only very recently. And again, that'll be a very, very important step forward to give that basic auth support. Anyway, so let's dive back out of there and let's just say that I'm going to get started for free. And again, this is something you can all do. So the first thing I've got to do is to choose the name. So I'll call it TechEd New Zealand 2012.tfspreview.com. So I'll go ahead and create that, see if the name's still available. Now it should be popping up and it's going to ask me to log in, or it might use a cache credential there, we'll just see. So at the moment, what we've got is a pluggable authentication provider. At the moment, that only supports Live ID. But if you think about on-premise only supported, you know, Windows integrated authentication, so this is a big step forward. And while Live ID is all well and good, oh, look at that. We've just provisioned a Team Project collection. By comparison, thanks, I'll take that little clap. That was excellent. Enjoy the claps while they're there. In terms of installing TFS, for your average on-site customer, I'd normally quote probably 2 days. You're thinking, hey, setup.exe, hey, this guy's having a lend of us. Setting up, who agrees? Who says I'm having a lend? Okay, a few of you that have done it will know that probably 2 days to get the service accounts created through your security guys, get all the hardware set up properly, get the product installed, get all the hot fixes, the updates there, get a security model put in place for all the team projects, getting build infrastructure set up and done, a couple of days is probably, you know, a reasonable expectation. So what do you reckon? A couple of days? 3 days, good, thank you. So compare that to what you've just seen. Now, there is build infrastructure hidden behind this. I have this optimistic hope of being able to show that to you. I do have a backup plan. I tell you all to come back for Rob's session later this afternoon because I think he's going to do a cloud build. Fantastic. That's my backup plan. Thanks, Rob. What we've done there is we've gone and provisioned a team project collection in what was probably, I wasn't paying too much attention, 30 seconds or less. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and say I want to create a new team project. I'm just going to borrow that URL or just put it into the clipboard for now and try that one more time. I can download some software here and so forth, but let's create a team project. So we can create the team project this way, or I can connect via Visual Studio, which I'll show you shortly. Team project, so we'll call it Contoso, which is typically a Microsoft-y type thing. And the template I'm going to use is Scrum 2.0. And I'll go ahead and say create. At the moment, if I want to, I can close the browser. That's basically just gone and scheduled a job on the hosting provider to say, create this for me. Now, I've used Scrum 2.0. For the hosted offering, at the moment, you can only use their process templates. You cannot use a custom process template. Because during the preview stage, as they're doing those updates, they need to be able to update those, you know, capabilities and features on your behalf. And they can't do that reliably if you're doing heavy customization. So today, it must be an out-of-the-box template. So just while that does its thing, I'm just going to pop back over here for a moment. So the terms of TFS preview, just while that team project creates. So Microsoft provides the service, you provide the feedback. Okay, so they're putting it out there for free, saying, come on board, please use it. They're going so far as saying, we'll give you a go-live license. You can use this in production. I'm certainly aware of some big companies overseas that are using TFS Preview for production work today. airline manufacturers for some of their systems to give it a try. In fact, I think Martin Woodward, who delivered this in TechEd North America, his team's one of the biggest users of TFS Preview today. And they've got Eclipse, they've got a lot of Java developers there. It's quite a heterogeneous environment, and that's working very well for them. Support at the moment is via the MSDN forums, but that's not a fobbing the support off. Anything that's happening up here, Microsoft are desperate to hear about. You know, they need to make sure that this is 100% reliable, and they're going to put their money where their mouth is. So they are eager to learn about any experiences, both good and bad, that you may have with TFS Preview. So that's the trade-off. Use it for free, but give us some feedback, whatever that looks like. Your data is being updated automatically with these three weekly updates. And at the moment, it's a best effort uptime. So I think, you know, their goal is 100%, let's be clear. They were averaging 99.93, I think, in the 30 days leading up to TechEd North America. That had dropped to 99.83. So that's the uptime. I think the financial SLA they're looking for, and that'll probably be on a later slide, is going to be 99.9% uptime. So not too bad at all. They will charge for this service in the future, much like if you wanted to go and host Exchange. You can host Exchange in your own organization, no question of it. Or you can use Office 365. You can have Microsoft look after the hosting of all of your email, the patching of it, the updating of it, the security of it. So this will be a similar offering for development teams. If you want to use this, then presumably you'll pay X dollars per month per developer using the system. My guess is there will always be a free alternative, a free option, maybe a basic offering for up to 5 users. They haven't announced anything like that, but that would be a reasonable and fair expectation to see. When they move from TFS Preview to the commercial offering, they're not going to magically, turn the dial one day and all your data disappears until you give them a credit card. Give them a little bit of credit for that. So they'll broadcast that quite loudly. We'll have plenty of news. In fact, one of the reasons that, it's using the same code base that TFS 2012 is using. Now, 2012 became generally available for us to download about a fortnight ago. So why isn't TFS Preview there yet? Well, there's some core functionality that doesn't exist. They've got to create it. They've got to give us a strong and reliable way to move our team project collections up and move data back out. They've got to figure out ways that we can federate our users in Active Directory to, our cloud offering up there. They've got to put billing models in place. They've got to do a lot of infrastructure. So that's why there's that, the lag behind the general release of TFS 2012 and that cloud-hosted offering. All right, let me switch back. So what you see there is our team project was created. In fact, it was created probably just 10, 15 seconds after I switched off it. And of course, that little message there, your project is created and your team is going to absolutely love this. Don't you like that? It's a nice message. I'm going to go ahead and click Navigate to Project now. So I now have a team project created in a team project collection on Microsoft's hosted TFS server. What you'll see there is, and this is where it could get really exciting for us. First thing I'm going to do is go and manage some members. I'm going to go in there and say I want to add some users. And remember, we're using live IDs right now. So I'm going to go ahead and add myself. Okay. And I could go and add other people. Because I've been using TFS Preview, I've already got a profile up there, so it's showing my friendly display name. It's showing a wonderful little photo up there. So as you go and add people, if they've used the service, if they've gone in and customized that profile, then of course you'll get the friendlier displays. I'm going to go ahead and close that. And just for now, what you're looking at is the web access. So through the sessions that Robin Adam did on the first day, or the session Thursday, or the session yesterday, you may have seen the web access before if you haven't used that back in your workplace. So I'm not going to go into too much detail there. I'm going to very optimistically try something here. And if I was smarter, I'd switch to a slide. But let's face it, I'm not that smart sometimes. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to get out of here. That's a positive change. Okay, so I've simply changed profiles there. And this is my backup machine, which is the release preview, which hasn't really been presentation cleansed. I just realized that. So let's make sure that nothing interesting shows up. I'm just gonna drop into Visual Studio now. So this is, you know, me back in the workplace, starting up Visual Studio as I would always do with 2012. And what I want to do is I want to go and connect it now to that cloud offering. So I'm going to go up to Team, connect to Team Foundation server. I'm going to go into my servers. I'm going to add a different one. And I'm going to call it TechEd New Zealand 2012.tfspreview.com. Thank you. Okay, so again, me simply pointing up to the cloud, and I'll click close there. So it goes and has a look, finds the default collection that was created, and there's the Contozo team project that you saw me create. I'll go ahead and connect to that. All right, so I've added a member to my hosted TFS offering. I've gone and connected to that TFS in the cloud. And I've got Visual Studio pointing up to it. So what I want to do next is go and create. So because it's in Windows 8, it does know that it is me. What would normally have happened if that was not the case is when I had have gone in there and typed in that URL, it would have popped up a window over the top, and that would have requested my live ID, and I would have gone and put the details in there. Okay. As I said yesterday, in terms of backward compatibility, so you can access this with 2008, you can access this with Visual Studio 2010 or 2012, so long as you've got Service Pack 1 and that forward compatibility pack. So all of those things with that GDR can go and provide Windows Live authentication back up to the hosted offering. So I'm going to go in here and simply say I want to go and create a new project. I'll go and say a simple MVC application, and I'll call that MVC application Hello NZ. Wow, great typing this morning. That all looks good, and I'll say OK. So just an absolute stock standard empty application. And then what I'm going to do is to go and check that in. And we'll see how that check-in experience goes for us. Because it's been going really, really well up until today. But that's my gift today. So there's my little project, nothing too exciting. I'm going to go ahead and say that I want to go and add that to source control. I'm going to go and pop it in a folder, because you should never load your code straight into the root. And I'm going to click on OK. Now what that should do is give me a whole bundle of pending changes. If I go back to my Team Explorer, go in and have a look at my pending changes, there should be 303 odd files to go up there. I'm going to go ahead and say that this is my initial check-in. And let's see how we go with that. I was getting some really interesting errors at this point. All morning, so let's just keep our fingers crossed and see how this goes. And I'll let you see it. I'm not going to flick across to a slide, which is really, really tempting to distract you and save face for a moment. But hey, let's see how it goes. So there's little pauses that are very interesting to me. Literally, all morning that has been failing. So nothing like just fly by the seat of your pants, give it a go. I'm not going to get too optimistic. That's just taunting the demo gods. So checking it in up until this morning has been a very good experience. And that was 303 files being sent over the conference network up to the cloud. So I'm just going to switch back to home there. I'm going to go into Web Access. And using Web Access, I want to simply show you that that source now does exist up on Windows Azure. Want to have team members, life is good. I think it was a deployment window this morning that was causing us some interest. Who knows? I'll try and get to the bottom of that. So I'm going to switch across to source. And sure enough, what you see here is my main folder, and that source now lives safely up on Windows Azure for us. I'm just going to go into main there, and I'm going to click the down arrow. I can go and add that to my favorites, or I'm going to go and choose to add that to my team favorites. That's just a little sidebar, something that's maybe a little bit interesting there. If I go back to my home now, you'll see that I've got that little thumbnail there, that little tile. And that tile is now going to report any check-in activities that happen in that source control folder. So that's just, I made it a team favorite. So on this team screen, you can choose exactly what goes up there. I can keep an eye on queries, I can look at bugs, I can have a look at build activities, I can look at what's going on in source. It's an excellent customizable dashboard so that at a glance, the team can really see what's going on there. Okay. I've also seen a really interesting example of this where they've applied it for, and this was an on-premise one because it was a lot of template customization, but they've created a complete job ticketing system for a help desk just using this UI, and those screens showed outstanding jobs, new jobs that were coming into the queue. It was really quite interesting. It was done by an intern within Microsoft, so I'm hoping that that will be then made available as a demonstration for people to download. But what we've done there is gone ahead and created that team project. What I want to do next is do some agile planning. So I'm just going to go ahead and just minimize that, open up the browser there, and let's go and have a look at our backlog. So using or doing our application lifecycle management with the cloud in the back end, we'll just wait for that to load. Okay, I want to go ahead and let's create some backlogs, things to do. So I'm going to say create MVP site. Sounds like a good thing to do. Let's go and create an automated build. I usually like to leave the typos in. It looks like it's not pre-canned. Create a Java build. Create an Azure site. Now it's getting optimistic. And that's all very interesting. So what that's showing us is that, you know, the speed of the internet there is very problematic for us. The normal experience behind that, and this is it's a really nice modern web application. The speed at which I was typing it there almost always would be fine. In fact, that's the first time the lag has been to such an extent that it didn't create. Has anyone using TFS Preview experienced that same thing? Usually, as fast as you can type it, that keeps up with us. So that's an interesting thing to see on what I'm suspecting is, you know, probably a very heavily utilized internet connection at the moment. So I'll just go back and recreate a couple of those. And that slow net's going to take a little bit of the shine off the demo, but I suppose, you know, if you want to use this service and you do have a heavily utilized or slow internet connection, then I suppose this is the experience you'll see. It won't be nearly as exciting for you as an on-premise TFS. Okay, so we've gone and created the MVP site, create the automated build, let's go and add it. And that's doing an asynchronous save behind the scenes. That seemed to be a little bit quicker for us. Create, nice typing, the Java build, and now it's going to be nice and behave for me. Create an Azure website, and let's deploy to Azure. No points for typing up there, but anyway. So I've gone and created those things. That's my backlog. I'm going to turn my forecasting on. And I'm going to say, of course, that we need to put some estimates in there. So that's going to take us about an effort of 8. Hey, this was a neat feature. That's going to take us an effort of 4. If I was in Word or something, what key sequence would I use to save what I'm doing? Control S. What's Control S normally do in IE? It brings up the Save Page dialog where you can save that page. So I'm just going to hit Control S there, and that actually saved it. So it is really a great modern web application. I'll go ahead and close out of there. The other thing I can do is up and down arrows, press Enter to open it up, go and put a rough estimate on there, do that Control S again. So in terms of the experience, that's actually a really compelling experience for managing the backlog. It's a good web UI. Just going to go back home for a moment. And one of the things that I forgot to do was I'm just going to go into schedule and iterations. I'm just going to go and put some dates there. Guess who didn't make himself an administrator of the team project, who should have really done that when he was logged on as the account that created it. How about we don't put dates there for now? That's going to make an interesting demo. Do I want to fix that? No, I'm not going to fix that given our time. 20 minutes. No, let's push on. I've had some wins. It's about time something, you know, went flaming in a pile. So I'm going to leave those dates alone just for now. So I've gone in there and done some product planning in the background. Let's just drop back over here for a moment. So I just wanted to just take a moment and talk about the server versus service. What are the changes, the differences in the experiences? Well, firstly, their code bases are largely identical. If anything, the TFS hosted version has a few extra if statements in there. I'm probably exaggerating just a little bit, but for the most part, that's true. So work item, source control, build, project management, test case, heterogeneous development, Java, Eclipse, plugins, all those things, identical between them. If you look at a couple of the differences there, near zero setup and administration. TFS service excels by a mile. And you've seen that today when I went into TFS preview, logged on there and said, hey, I want to sign up, give me a new TPC, and it did. I said, create a new team project, and I was ready to go. You know, technically, I could have done that within 5 minutes. Within another 10 minutes, I could arguably have an automated build happening with an Elastic Build Service on Windows Azure. So try and do anything like that on site. And what we've already said is that's 2 to 3 days to get that really done properly in your organization. The next thing that it lists there is collaborate with anyone from anywhere. So by having that pluggable authentication provider, by using Windows Live IDs, anyone that we want to work with, it's a case of, do you have a Live ID? If not, go and sign up. They're free. We'll then go and add you, and we can manage your security and your access to that team project. You're just one of the team. Try and do that on-premise, going and having an account created for them in Active Directory, setting up VPN access for them, endpoint analysis to make sure they can only get to the TFS services. That's just a whole lot more work. Now, it sounds a little bit one-sided, and sure enough, you can see those bottom links there. So today, the hosted version does not have integration with Lab Management, does not have integration with SharePoint, and does not have the data warehouse and reporting capabilities. So, you know, you're not getting those things today. Are they planned? Absolutely. And if you think about it, one of the big promises, one of the big benefits of the cloud is high availability and the elasticity of the cloud. So build is a great example where we can, you know, build out and scale out build machines as we need them, but lab would be a perfect example. You know, we've got this window of 2 weeks where we need to be able to go and exhaustively test on a lot of different configurations. So wouldn't it be fantastic to simply go and use the Azure VMs or some such thing to go and grow out the test lab while we need it? And then as soon as we're done with it, it shrinks down again and you only pay for what you use. So while you don't get that lab integration today, I think that's got to be one of the highest value propositions of using the cloud. So I expect to see that coming sometime. So server versus service, there's some comparisons up there. We'll expect to see those bottom three coming on board. I know that's certainly a goal or a desirable for them. Okay, so we've got our backlog worked out. And in terms of our agile planning, I'm just going to go back in there. I won't be able to do the forecasting. I'm hoping that you would have seen that in a couple of sessions yesterday. The Java build, I'm going to drag that down. That's now a lower priority for us. So we've got full fidelity in our agile planning. I'm going to grab, that's definitely going to be a stretch target for me. I'm going to grab a few of these and throw them into the current sprint. The deploy to Azure could be definitely a nice to have. That's certainly not a commitment or a forecast. We'll go in there and have a look at the sprint. And I'm just going to expand that out now and create website. I'm going to go and put 4 hours on that. And publish. That's an Australian term. We'll go with 2 hours there. Save and close that. In terms of the automated build, one of the first things you've got to do is figure it out. That's going to take us just a little while. And we also need to go and do it. And that's going to take 3 hours. Okay. So again, the agile planning experience on a hosted TFS offering is really quite compelling. It's quite a good experience. And if I had told you that was on-premise or cloud, you really shouldn't have been able to tell the difference between that in terms of an experience. Okay. So that's our agile planning. We've done a little bit of sprint planning there. I can go in there, I can manage the capacity of the team. So Anthony's got a capacity of 5-6 hours a day. My original account can do 3 hours a day. And we should have a team day off, although given the fact I haven't put dates in there, that's probably not overly relevant to us. And guess who really should have clicked save there? Isn't it nice that it makes it easy for us? Okay, so I've gone ahead and done my sprint planning. Next thing I want to do is switch back to Visual Studio. I'm going to go into builds and I'm going to choose to create a new build definition. Guess who really wished he had to fix that security issue now? And guess who probably really has to fix that security issue now? Is there a quick way to do that? Ticked. No, it wasn't. Ticked NZ 2012. Ah, interesting. So we'll try something a little bit different. It's one of the hardest things is remembering the names you gave these things. So I'll choose to go in to my account. It was Tech and wrong account, thank you. Having that, for most people, you'll only have one live ID associated with what you're logged on as. So having that automatically passed through is generally a good thing. But when you are randomly trying to change and switch between accounts, that's not nearly as much fun. Now, let me sign in with a different credential. Ticked NZ. That's what I wanted. I'm just going to go into administration. So. Okay, so that's exciting in no really positive way. So changing between logged on live IDs at the moment certainly is challenging. I think the current guidance around that is to shut the browser, clear the cache, and come back in again. Again, remember, this isn't a typical scenario. Again, I'm one person. I, in fact, have five different live IDs floating around inside this VM, which is largely causing that challenge and issue. If it was just me as Anthony doing everything there, then the automatic pass-through of those things would be very reliable, and I wouldn't get those little challenges there. I will give it 10 minutes. Sorry? I want to try and do that. No. Okay. So what I was going to do there, and just again, I've got a little over 10 minutes there. I want to have some Q&A at the end there. I've got some more content that I want to show you. I guess where I was going to go with that is I was really keen to create a build. Now, this is something that Rob's going to show you this afternoon if you come along to Rob's session on unit testing. What time, Rob? 4:30? 4:30, fantastic. So if you come along there, this was a really exciting feature, and it's probably, you know, Rob's thinking, yippee, I get to show it, and Anthony doesn't get to show it. I was going to go in there and say create a build definition. How many people have created a build definition on-premise? Just ran through the wizard. The really exciting thing there is as you go through and say I want to create a build definition, it comes up, and where it shows you the build controller, it shows you hosted build controller. Okay? So in addition to having TFS up in the cloud, we also have builds up there. They, in fact, provision a virtual machine image to do your build for you. When the build is done, they flush that image away and reprovision another one for the next person. So the Elastic build looks really, really good. So I guess where I was going to go with that is to go in there and create that build definition. I was then going to set it up to trigger automatically. I was going to make a couple little changes to the code, and you're going to see that build occurring up in the cloud. So again, I would love to have shown you that. And my stretch target for the session this morning was also then to have it automatically deploy out to an Azure-based website, which is a really cool demo. So I'm a bit bummed that I was probably not going to get to it in the time that we had available. But if I give you a very quick look at that, based on this information here, I'm just going to pop into the Azure portal. And I'm going to go manage Windows Azure.com. Okay, so you can come in here and you can choose to create a new website. When you go and create that website, you get to, you know, provide a name and some other details. But the really interesting thing here is see in the bottom left-hand corner, set up TFS publishing. So I guess I wanted to, you know, have source in the cloud. I wanted to create the build in the cloud, and I wanted to do the deployment in the cloud. So that I won't be able to show, but effectively, we say we want to turn that on. We put in the credential details we use here, and it's using OAuth to wire those things up. We can always choose to revoke that permission anytime we like in the future. So I go in there and I link it. Well, let me do this. Tech. How's that for instantly forgetting what I did? Tech NZ 2012? What was it? Fantastic. Would you like to do a Microsoft exam? No, seriously, would you like to do a Microsoft exam? Oh, there you go. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and authorize that. And of course, the account that I'm running in has next to no rights on it. This is going to not work, is my guess. I'm going to take it. I'll take that. What's the default permission on that? That's interesting. So I'm going to go ahead and choose Contoso. I love it. I really shouldn't be allowed to create this build. Okay, that's fair. It had to fail. I knew it had to fail. So what I was really looking to do there is that would then talk back to the team project, and under the build tab, I would have had the build I was trying to create, and then I would have had a completely new build created for me. And that build would have gone and run the unit tests in the project, done the compilation, and if it worked, it then would have used Web Deploy to grab that MVC application and push it directly and straight out into the Azure website for us. Which is a real shame because it's only a couple of clicks there. But to get that back on track, I'm going to run well out of time to do that. That's a shame because that's a really compelling demo at the end there. So sorry I can't show you that. There was a great talk on exactly this topic, publishing applications to the Azure websites at TechEd North America this year. So certainly that'll be available for you online through Channel 9. So if you wanted to see how that works, it focuses more on premise, but you know, what you've seen here, it works equally well if you're using the hosted TFS service offering. All right, so a couple of things about authentication. So at the moment, they're using LiveID, but again, it's more the infrastructure. It's going and putting in that pluggable provider, which is really the enabling thing. Because it is now pluggable, then it's foreseeable that we can use OAuth, Facebook Connect, Google ID, your Twitter account, anything that supports OAuth, you could presumably create an authentication provider to allow you to get access to TFS in the cloud. In terms of network, there is enforced HTTPS. You don't have a choice there. And the data storage is taken care of using Windows Azure Storage and SQL Azure. In terms of the performance, at the moment, it's all hosted in a North American data center, but by the time it goes commercial, there's every expectation that as part of the sign-on process, you'll be able to choose exactly what data center you want to use. So naturally, you'll choose the closest one. In terms of the methodology, TFS has really been developed from the get-go to support WAN users. I mean, if you have a look at the team, you've got a lot of the team based in Redmond, of course, but then you've got right across the other side of the country, the guys in North Carolina. You've got Martin and his guys up Martin up in Belfast. So, you know, that WAN experience has always been there from the get-go. There's been extensive scale testing in staging environments. They seem to, they have a reasonably good load testing tool there, so that's quite helpful. But again, there's no place like production. And that's really, they're saying that, you know, bumps happen. Including a bump that we experienced most of the morning. Now that's becoming less and less common, and you know it's an opportunity for them to iron those kinks out before the commercial service goes live. So again, they're looking at a 99.9% SLA, but of course their goal is 100%, always up. They've got redundancy there, so multiple instance app tiers, so they're taking care of that high availability and the automated failover for us. They've got monitoring there, so it's constantly being monitored by third-party external organisations from multiple locations. You can do on-demand monitoring, or they can as needed, and their SLA will be measured using synthetic transactions inside that data centre. And really, if you think about it, that's the only way it can work. They can't offer an SLA that would in any way encompass the distance between wherever it's hosted and your PC. A few variables outside of their control there. Getting in and out, so the all-in TFS service. So you can look to start the service fresh as I've done today. So we go in there and say, hey, I want to create a new TFS in the cloud, and then I can go and upload my source. At the moment, there's no easy capability to onboard your source from an on-premise TFS server. Now that said, if you were here yesterday, you heard me make mention of the fact that the VSS migration tool allows you to go in there and specify a TFS preview site. So it will do a migration of local source safe straight up into the cloud. We'll also see solutions using the TFS integration platform. So you'll be able to do things like move your existing solutions either up into the cloud or pull those things back down again. That's certainly, that's got to happen. That's critical to the commercial success of the tooling. And they're looking at hybrid alternatives. So those hybrid alternatives say that we want to leave some of our assets locally while using some of the assets available in the cloud. That hybrid solution's a big deliverable to come. Some other considerations. So they upgrade the process and the templates. You cannot use a custom process template. And all of those trial accounts will convert to, when they release it, there'll be an offering there so that we can migrate directly from the preview into a live hosted paid for offering. All clients can talk to TFS 2012. So again, the same story we had with the on-premise yesterday, that exists for the cloud. So your Visual Studio 2010, 2012, 2008, Microsoft Test Manager, Eclipse, Excel Project, all of those things can talk to that cloud-based TFS offering. All right, so I'm, 2 minutes over. That's really annoying. Question? They're very, very highly desirable things that you would expect to see coming, yes. It's got to be on the backlog. I can't speak specifically about it.
There's no